In that home, we knew we were safe to be young enough to dream, find the faith to believe.
Welcome to the podcast, Life to the Full, with Nancy Campbell, founder and publisher of Above Rubies.
Where we learn to forgive in that home.
Hello, ladies. Today I have with me Sonia Ramsey. And Sonia actually did a podcast with us quite some time ago. Today, this is podcast 307. But when we did it together, Sonia, it was 150. So that's quite a while ago. In fact, back then, Sonia was still living in Oregon, but happening to be visiting here, and so I grabbed her to do a podcast with her. But since then, they have come to live down here in Tennessee and living not too far away from us, so they become very much part of our lives. And we are so blessed. They are such a wonderful family. You'd love to, if you didn't hear it, you would love to go back and hear Sonia's testimony. And she shares how she went into motherhood longing for children, but didn't always happen so easily. She had infertility, she had miscarriage, then she had, did I say miscarriages? It was plural, wasn't it?
It was.
And then a difficult adoption, and then, well, they ended their family with a little Down syndrome baby, little Noah. Well, little Noah, he's just now become just the delight of everybody who even sees him. He's just the most amazing personality,
he is.
Isn't he?
He
you
is.
Don't need TV when you've got
Noah.
Oh,
no. Oh, no. He entertains us all
day.
Oh,
goodness me. And yet there was a time when you first found out, you wondered, how will I cope with a Down syndrome child? What would you say now?
Oh, if I had known that he was coming, oh, I'd be so excited. I just have enjoyed every minute of having him in our family.
Well, actually, the word exciting, really, that's how you describe Noah.
Oh, yes.
It? Exciting.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Every never a dull moment for that guy.
It's exciting.
That's right.
Life is just so exciting to him. I could just spend all my days just looking at the excitement on his face.
Yes.
And in his actions. It's just so amazing.
He loves everyone. He loves to be with everyone. Yes.
Oh, yes. And all the children are so great with him.
They are.
Oh, it's so wonderful. And it's amazing. How long have you been now in Tennessee?
2 years.
2 years.
Yep. Two years in December.
Yes. And in that time, oh, I've just watched the children grow. I can't believe Asher. Is he 15 now?
He's 16.
16?
Yes.
But I've just watched him. It's like I used to watch our grandsons. You'd see them and then one day you'd say, help. You grew 2 inches last night.
Yeah.
And then the next day they grew another 2. They just
it's true.
Grow. In fact, he has joined all the tall boys.
Yes, he has. He shot up this year.
Yes, all the tall young men around here. It's just so amazing, isn't it?
It is.
Well, today I want to, well, I mean, Sonia and I, we're going to share another project with you. Well, this is an exciting thing. Because they came to live in Tennessee, the Ramseys do a special thing every year, and Colin and I were so blessed that they invited us to join them. And actually, you've only been here 2 years, but we've been to 3 of your
yes.
special meals. So how come
That's,
that worked out? I don't
the
know.
Way we when we moved
must adjust
because we're yeah it happened very soon after
yes,
we got here
yes.
and so it,
well we've
yeah.
been to 3 and they have been so amazing. So you tell us, Sonia, what it's all about.
Okay, so when my children were younger, so about 9 years ago, we would always wonder what to do for Valentine's Day. And I wasn't very excited about just getting them a bunch of candy and, you know, stuffed animals or something. And I just thought, there's got to be something else. And then I heard about St. Valentine and that he was a martyr and that the day was named after him. And I thought, oh, that's interesting. And I had heard somebody say, you could use today as a day to remember the persecuted church. So I thought, oh, now that's something I would love to do. So I started thinking about what that could look like. And so our first year,
So you've been doing it for how many
years? For 9 years.
Nine years. That's amazing. Yes.
And so we chose India. And we decided to have them dressed up as Indian as we could get. We had saris on and homemade ones anyway. And we took the legs off of our table and set it on the floor in the living room. And we just set it up. And I found some Indian recipes and we made some food from India and just had a really good time. And a couple weeks leading up to that, we studied the country and studied what it was like to be a Christian there. And I found videos online, and so we watched those. And so just kind of leading up to it, we had India on our mind. And then we spent that evening eating the food and having a good time. But then after the meal, we would spend praying for them and the church that's there and the difficulties that they have and just encouraging for them. So I wanted to instill in our children a love for the church everywhere, not just what we have where we can just go to church and it's no big deal. Nobody's going to fire us or murder us or any of those things for our faith. But that's not the case for Christians around the world. And so I wanted them to be able to love the other Christians around the world.
Yes. Now tell us which countries you have done so far.
Okay. I'm not sure they're entirely in order, but we started with India. We did Vietnam, North Korea.
Now Vietnam would have been interesting because you have an adopted daughter from Vietnam.
Yes. And so we did it pretty early on. And actually that's one that I don't remember as much. She remembers the recipes that we did, but I don't remember focusing as much on that one. So it might've been the very second year, but I do remember the North Korea very well. Yes. That one we had by candlelight since the country is dark at night.
Yes.
We actually found some interesting videos online of people interviewing those living there. And it was interesting. It was an unusual one to do.
Yes. So, of course, North Korea is the number one persecuting country of Christians.
Right.
Yes.
Yes. So we did that one. We did China. And that one was funny because that year, I think
you
we must have had a baby.
Son from China.
We do. And I think we may have done this when he was either really little or before he came, because I know I couldn't cook that year, and so my husband went and got Chinese teriyaki balls from a restaurant and brought them home. We did Turkey, which was wonderful. We did Egypt, which I think is our favorite food especially. That was wonderful. Afghanistan was the first one that you came to. Last year was Nigeria, and this year we did Eritrea.
Eritrea.
Yes.
Oh, now, you know, this time, I just love doing this with the Ramseys. It was just so inspiring. And of course, we had such a great night and loved trying the different foods. In fact, I think this year the food was it was so delectable. Oh,
it was good food.
Made you want to go to Eritrea to eat it.
I did too.
It was just so wonderful. But you really associate with the country when you eat the food and you dress up as much as you can like they would be dressing up. Fortunately, I have quite a lot of African clothes in my wardrobe from my that have been sent from Liberia, from relatives of my adopted Liberian children. So we were able to spread those around. But this Eritrea, it really got to me this year as we began to find out more about this country and what it's really like. You know, here, lovely ladies, here in the United States, we hardly know we're alive. We live so blessedly. And of course, we do face problems and face even financial things and everything we think we're, hard done by. But really, we're not compared to the rest of the world. And even those of you living in other countries, this country it's a absolute totalitarian dictatorship. And of course, there is no freedom in this country at all. Imagine living in a country with no freedom at all. This guy, this president of this country, his name is Isaias. What's his name? I wrote it down somewhere. Let's see. Where did I write it
While
down?
You're looking for that, did I wanted remember to point that? In.
It's, anyway.
Do you remember that Eritrea was one of the hermit nations, is kind of a nickname, similar to North Korea,
yes.
where they're very closed yes. off from the rest of the world.
That's absolutely
and
true.
And that was fascinating to me. I had no idea.
Yes, they call Eritrea the North Korea of Africa.
That's right.
Because it is such a totalitarian state ruled by this president. It was actually, they got their independence from Ethiopia back in... that was, let's see, what year was that? That was 1993. And since then, there has been no elections at all. No elections, no course to any freedom of speech or any other political party or anything. Imagine, ladies, living in a country which is just, you know, you're in servitude. And that's the last 23 years. Imagine that. It's been bad enough living under Biden's regime.
That was 30-some, right?
1993? 1993.
What, 31? Yes. Is that 31?
Yes. Is it 31? Yes, something like that.
Yes.
31. You're right. 31 years.
That's a long
time. 31 years. And it's been bad enough living under Biden's regime for 3 years. Goodness me, help. We hope we can change that. But they have no recourse to change.
No.
And there they are. And they have to be, soon as they have finished high school, all males and females have to be enlisted into the military. Mm. And not for so many years. It could be indefinite. They give no time when it's over. Mm. And... their lives are just completely ruled. And so there's no legislature, no media outlets, no independent judiciary. In fact, the government shut down all independent media in 2001. That's 23 years ago. Yes, that was what I was getting mixed up
yes.
with. 23 years without any other social media except what the government tells you. And freedom of assembly is not recognized either. Mm-hmm. A public gathering of more than seven requires a permit.
Oh.
If people protest, they will be faced with deadly force. Food, insecurity and malnutrition are common. About 66% of Eritreans live below the poverty line. So, ladies, it would be difficult to live in such a country. And yet, isn't it sad? It's such a beautiful country. It's, if you don't know where it is, you'll want to go to your map of Africa and have a look. Go over to the eastern side and you'll see the Horn of Africa, as it is called. And it's right on the Horn of Africa. And so it is bordered, in the east by the Red Sea, the beautiful Red Sea. They have such a beautiful long coastline of the Red Sea. And of course, opposite that is Saudi Arabia and Yemen. And on the west is Sudan, and on the south is Ethiopia, and on the southeast is Djibouti. And so that's where it is. Have a look at where this country is. A beautiful country, and yet people living in poverty and servitude. And then we get to the Christians. Actually, it was a Christian country. And by the numbers, half the people are Christian, although sort of, you know, just by name. And then the other half, Islam. But if any... one, if they want to change from Islam to Christianity, they will be persecuted, or even if from their, you know, sort of government Christianity, they turn to really, truly being born again, they're going to be persecuted. The persecution is pretty horrific there.
It was pretty intense what we were learning
about. Now, you were sharing some about that night. Do you remember some of it?
Well, yeah, we were talking about, and I can't actually remember why this came about, but we were discussing the holding containers. There were some holding containers, those metal-like shipping boxes that were out in the jungle, and they, very hot area, and the Christians were left out there, locked in there to... bake. Some of them survived, some didn't. And I can't remember what the reason for that was, but there are several, and this is the kind of situation where people might just disappear, you know, they just without having any word of where they've gone. So it's going against the government in their Christian faith is not tolerated.
So you just have to toe the absolute line of the government. Mm-hmm. And so, dear ladies, you know, this is really the vision that the beautiful Ramsey family have, is to take a country and then begin to pray for that country for the whole year. And, you know, as we were there that night, I thought, wow, we've got to do a podcast about this, because imagine if we can not only be praying, but we can get all of you praying, and we're all praying for Eritrea, this country that is so desperate. Imagine what could happen. And we've been meaning to do this podcast for so long, but, you know, getting onto it. But here we are. And so I really want to give you a vision, ladies. I want to give you just, such a vision that you could take up as a family, a country. I'd love you to join with us for Eritrea this year. Then next year, you could choose your own country. But I think the more that can be praying for this one country, I believe we could see God do something amazing. Because you just think of, you know, since they got independence, 31 years of just dictatorship, no freedom at all, and persecution for Christians. It is on the top 10 list of the persecuting countries of Christians. You know, we do need to pray, don't we? Well, what does the scripture say? Hebrews 13, verse 3. Remember them that are in bonds, as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity, as being yourselves also in the body. Now, let me read it from the New Living Translation. It just makes it even more clearer to us. Remember those in prison as if you were there yourself. Remember also those being mistreated, as if you felt their pain in your own bodies. Wow, that's something, isn't it? Well, the sad part is, I think that many Christians don't even get to pray for the persecuted church. That is the very least we can do, to pray for them. I believe we have a responsibility, even as the Bible says, and to pray for them in such an intercessory way that we are feeling their pain, the pain of their torture, and the pain of their hunger, and the pain of the evil things they're doing to their minds and their bodies. Oh, goodness me. I remember once, maybe I've told you this story before, but Serene, it was a couple of years ago, and she was coming down from their third story, I think, on a ladder, and she had a long skirt on, and somehow it got caught, and she fell to the ground on her back, and she was in such agony. I mean, it could have been so serious, but God delivered her and healed her. But while she was there, on her back in absolute pain, what did she do? I was just amazed when she shared with me. She said, oh, Mum, she said, I was in such pain that I cried out and cried out for the persecuted church. Because she said, usually, I feel so good that I don't know how to feel their pain in my body. So at last I was feeling such pain in my body. So I was really interceding for them. But I was really challenged by that.
Yes.
In fact, it was only a few weeks later that I fell and broke my ribs. And of course, you know, ribs heal, but they are painful when you break your ribs. So I was in such pain. So I thought, well, what am I meant to do? Oh, pray for the persecuted church. But don't let's wait until we're in absolute agony and pain, lovely ladies. Let's make it a part of our lives. Now, you know so well how I encourage you as families to come together morning and evening to just read the word and pray together as a family. And I think this is such a great time to pray for the persecuted church. So how have you guys been getting on with praying?
Well, we're working on it.
This is the thing. I've got a confession too. Because I came home from that lovely evening with you. I thought, right, every single day we're going to pray for the Eritrea. And I told everybody in the household, and we started off with a bang. And but I have to confess, we haven't done it every day. And yet I do have some helps. This is what I find, ladies. I do believe that we need help in reminding ourselves to pray. Now, I may have shared with you before, but we have prayer boxes here in our home, right by our table where we have our devotions. We have our hymn books that we sing from, and we have our prayer boxes that we pray from. I have about 9 different prayer boxes, and of course, one of them is our praying for the persecuted church. And in that box, I have all the different needs of the persecuted church and what is happening to them and the different countries that are being persecuted. I also have another prayer box called Countries and Capitals. And I have in that box all the most needy capitals and countries of the world. And of course, that includes the persecuted countries too. So I actually have 2 boxes where, you know, we don't use 9 boxes every day. We will just usually pick up 1 box. So then we'll often get Eritrea and we're praying for it. But I'm now thinking I have to think of another idea to remind us to pray every day. My dear sister, Kate, she is living with us at the moment. Her and her husband are building a house just out here on the hilltop. And while it's building, they're living with us. And I have to confess, she is faithful. Since that night, she has prayed in her own prayer time before she gets up every day for Eritrea. Somehow she remembers it's really on her heart. So I pray that you can think of, I hope you'll make some prayer boxes too. It's great to have them on all the different subjects we need to be praying for, the nation and the Israel and persecuted church and all these different needs in the world. But think of some idea of how you can remember, because I just feel, lovely ladies and young people listening and children listening, if we could all begin to pray every day this year, from now on, this year, for Eritrea, well, what could happen?
That would be amazing.
Yes.
You're making me think of Pam Fields and her bracelets. Oh, I think she's written that into the magazine before, where she writes the bracelets with her children's names on them to remember to pray for them.
That's a great idea. Have you heard of Pam's idea? Pam Fields, she has done podcasts with me. She has made bracelets where she has the names of all her children, which she puts on one wrist every morning. Then, as she has prayed for each child, then she puts it on the other wrist. She's prayed for them. And then by the end of the day, wow, if she shows whether she's got through them all.
She knows who to pray for at the end of the day.
Yes, yes. It's so, we just so need reminders, don't we? We really do. It's amazing. And I find even our prayer boxes, the things that we pray for, we would never pray for them if we didn't take that little card out of our prayer boxes. We just forget. We're so prone to forgetting, aren't we? I was looking up again this morning in Open Doors, because they're such a wonderful organization who are reaching out to the persecuted church. And I thought I'd just share with you a little bit of what they say about Eritrea. And they also call it the North Korea of Africa. And actually, Eritrea does recognize both Islam and Christianity, but anything outside of government Christianity is open to their persecution. And I'll just read this to you. Raids to round up unsanctioned believers are common with church leaders, especially the church leaders. Those seized in raids are often sent into Eritrea's notorious prison network, where they can be indefinitely detained. They believe that there are at least 1,000 Christians imprisoned currently, and they haven't been charged with any crime. They're just there and forgotten, and they just forget about them. Nobody knows where they'll ever come out. Members of house churches have been in prison for more than 10 years, enduring shocking conditions, solitary confinement. Women, they face rape and sexual violence. The government watches every citizen of Eritrea, promoting a stigma against Christians. Anyone who converts from Islam or joins a non-approved Christian denomination is likely to come under intense pressure. Along with the government, women are particularly vulnerable. They risk abduction, house arrest, forced marriage to a Muslim. That's what happens in these countries. Or removal of their children. And can I tell you about the testimony of one, Abdullah? They share his testimony, and becoming a Christian in Eritrea cost Abdullah everything. It cost him his job, his freedom, and eventually his life. This persecution could have ended if he had renounced Jesus, but that was something he refused to do. He knew Jesus was worth the cost. Like most Eritreans, Abdullah grew up in a Muslim home. When he decided to follow Jesus, he could have been a secret believer, but he was so passionate about his new faith that he couldn't keep it quiet. He told everyone about Jesus. He wanted them to know the good news too. But of course, through that, he was arrested and imprisoned. In prison, he was only given food 3 times a week. His wife wasn't allowed to bring him any extra food or clothes or even see him. She did receive letters in which she learned that he was getting increasingly sick in prison, and tragically, he died. Those close to the family say that Abdullah was imprisoned to discourage his faith. Ultimately, they wanted him to deny Christ and convert back to Islam. He was told that were he to do this, they'd drop the charges. But no imprisonment, hunger, torture, or sickness could separate Abdullah from the love of God. It's amazing. I just think of these, you know, Christians in these countries who, you know, in the face, they know they'll face torture, they'll face death, they face being thrown out of their families, they face prison, they face forgottenness for the rest of their life, and yet they won't give up their testimony for Jesus. Wow, they put us to shame, don't they? But our responsibility is to pray. Yes, to pray for them. I'm wondering, are you getting the vision? Will you join with us in praying for Eritrea? Oh, I just think it would be so wonderful if every family would do this. Ask the Lord what you can do to help you remember to do it, because we do need that help. And maybe you can tell other families about it too. And then maybe you'll want to do what the Ramses do. And every year you'll choose another country.
Even now, they could choose Eritrea and have their friends over and have
yes.
dinner.
Yes, great. It was a beautiful meal. It doesn't. I mean, they do it Valentine's Day. You could do it New Year's Day. You could do it this week. I mean, it doesn't matter when. And as Sonia was saying, what a great idea. Just, you know, look up the foods and get dressed up, invite some other families over and have a wonderful night together and pray that together that night, and then commit to praying together. Yes, that would be just so great.
And in preparing for those things, it's really fun for the children to be able to go to the stores where they sell those seasonings that we're not used to cooking with. We had to go into Nashville to find a store that had all of the things that we needed. And that was part of the adventure. That was really fun for all of us.
Oh, yes. And you're discovering about the world with your children. Yes. And that they've, how blessed they are here in America. But we want our children, don't we, to have a heart for the persecuted church and heart for others and learn to pray for others. And also your girls, I mean, now that they're getting older, they are doing a lot of the cooking and they're learning how to cook and all these other, you know, wonderful ways. And they're such good cooks. Oh, by the way, if you ever come to the THM, Trim Healthy Mama Cafe here in Tennessee, you will be served by Sonia's beautiful daughters, Ellie and Shiley. They work there and it's always such a joy to go there just to be served by them. They're so beautiful and so amazing. Yes, so maybe you've met them if you've been to the THM Cafe. So is there anything else you wanted to say about this vision, Sonia?
I don't think so. Just the daily reminder, I would say that's one thing to just kind of ponder on. I think it's good for all of us.
Well, reminder. Your vision gave me a vision. And I can't wait for next year when we come to your next one.
Yes.
And I just think it's such a marvelous idea. And just to pray for this country. So I trust you've got the vision. I trust you'll join us. Let's pray and see changes come to this nation that is in such servitude to dictatorship. Oh, I would find it so hard to live under dictatorship. How do you live when you don't have freedom? I don't know. And although this is one of the worst countries, there are many that are like that. In fact, let me just, as we close, give you the top 10 persecuting countries. North Korea, of course, number one. Somalia, Libya, Eritrea, Yemen, Nigeria, Pakistan, Sudan, Iran and Afghanistan. There are about 50 persecuting countries of the world. Those are the top 10. And we certainly need to be praying for them. And how do we pray for them? Remember, it's though we were feeling their pain in our own bodies. In fact, the Aramaic version of that scripture says, as if you were people who wear their bodies. Isn't that amazing?
Wow.
Yes. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this opportunity that Sonia and I could share this wonderful vision that you have given to them as a family. And Lord, I just love to see it just multiplied across the world to just take up a country that is in such servitude and suffering such persecution. Lord God, I pray that you will motivate these precious families listening and they will begin to pray for this country. We pray for Eritrea today, Lord. We pray for this dictator. Lord God, Isaias F. Wilkie, I think that's his name, Lord, that you will, oh God, bring him down from his high throne. We pray, I don't know how it can happen, Lord God, but somehow that there can be a freedom, Lord, for there to be election somehow. Lord, it's just, it's only you can do this, Lord God, and we pray for a miracle, and we pray for the precious believers who are suffering there. We pray that you will encourage their hearts, that, Lord, you will surround them with your love. And, Lord God, you will, Lord, those who are just, their tummies are tortured with hunger, Lord. Oh, God, just come to them. Lord, just give them that feeling of a full stomach, Lord God. We pray for those who are being tortured and just left abandoned, Lord. And we pray that you'll know, they'll know you haven't forgotten them. We pray that you'll put your loving arms around them and bring your presence to them so mightily. And Lord, we just pray that in some miraculous way, deliverance will come to this country. We ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Amen.